Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. The phone lines are open for you at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or a personal issue you'd like to discuss, well, don't hesitate. We'd love to hear from you, have you be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Give us a call at 844-322-2742, and of course, that number is good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Good to be with you on this Thursday edition.
And you. I announced yesterday that it was going to be Friday today, so we kind of retract that. We're going to shovel it a little bit. Yeah.
Well, that calendar keeps us honest, doesn't
it? Does.
So this is the Thursday edition of Basic Gospel. So glad you're with us as well. Thank you so much for letting us be a part of your life. Thank you for being a part of ours through this broadcast that we know is Basic Gospel. Today, I want to spend a few minutes in one of the most assuring and comforting passages in the Word of God. It's John chapter 10, starting in verse 22. One of our biggest questions that we're asked here on Basic Gospel is about assurance of salvation.
Right.
Can we be secure in our salvation? Is there a possibility of losing salvation? What would we have to do to lose it if there is a possibility? If we lose it, can we get it back? These are questions that people ask. Well, all of those are answered by Jesus in this particular section of Scripture. So it's John chapter 10, starting in verse 22. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." That's the assurance that we need. That's the assurance that Christ gives us. So if we have heard his voice, and that means we've heard the call of the gospel, we have recognized that Jesus died for my sins.
Right.
Jesus died for your sins. You've recognized that. You recognize that Jesus was buried. He put an end to the law of sin and death. He fulfilled it in its entirety. And then on the third day, he was raised back to life, and he has become a life-giving spirit, and he offers us eternal life. And so when we respond, when we answer that call of the gospel, and we do that through faith, we're saved. And when we're saved, we've been given eternal life, and we will never perish. Boy, talk about comforting words. Those are comforting words.
Yes.
The fact that we will never perish. I did a funeral service for a cousin of mine this past weekend, and he had come to Christ at a point in his life. And so even though this physical body died, he took his last physical breath, he was given eternal life, and he will never perish. So he immediately went to be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and he will be with the Lord forever. And what I told the family and the friends and the fellow workers that gathered to celebrate John's life was that his life is hidden in Christ with God. And when Christ, who is his life, appears, guess what? He will appear with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this everlasting life is all about. That's what not perishing is all about, that we will be with the Lord forever. So he says, "No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." So when you respond to the call of the gospel, you are placed into the very hand of Christ, and then you are placed in the very hand of God the Father. Now, is there any power, is there any force on God's green earth that is powerful enough to snatch us out of the Father's hands? Absolutely not. God is the strongest. God's God's will endure forever, and no one can change that. Yeah. So if he saved us, he saved us completely. We're going to be with him forever. Now, Jesus goes on to say, I and the Father are one. Mm-hmm. So who is this Jesus talking? Who is this Jesus who has claimed to give people eternal life? Who is this Jesus who says that no one can snatch us out of his hands? Well, he is the one who is one with the Father. Yes. Well, what does that mean? Well, a lot of people cast doubt on these words. They think that Jesus is saying something that he's not. But what he's saying is that he and the Father are equal, mm-hmm. that he has the same essence as God, that in fact, that he is God. That's what he's saying. That's what Jesus is proclaiming in these words. Now, here's the response of the Jews. The Jews picked up stones again. This wasn't the first time they'd picked up stones to stone Jesus. They picked up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Yeah. So they understood exactly what Jesus was saying, that he was claiming to be God. Mm-hmm. That statement, a very short, a very direct statement, I and the Father are one, is a claim right out of the mouth of Jesus that he indeed is God in human form. So if he says no one can snatch us out of his hands, if he says he has given us eternal life, then we can have assurance that once we're saved, we are saved forever.
Forever. Boy, what good news, Bob. Thank you for sharing that. And friends, thank you for being here for this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742. If you'd have something to add to the conversation, we'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. Give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you right now. Well, friends, it is a rich resource, a rich video resource covering just about every subject imaginable that have to do with the Christian life. I refer to, of course, to Basic Gospel's YouTube channel, where Bob Christopher has posted close to 100 insight-filled videos, including his latest posting, What Must I Do to Please God? And you can find subjects like the believer and confession, maintaining fellowship with God, was Jesus really raised from the dead, or can it be too late to be saved, and about 90 more. It's all posted at the Basic Gospel YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube. And don't forget to tell a friend about this free online video treasure trove. It's really a treasure trove, friends. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/YouTube. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. You know, Bob, recently I was reading through Psalm 104, where David is describing the majesty of God, the greatness of God, and all that he had accomplished and put together. And it just occurred to me that the word everything just isn't big enough. The word all just isn't big enough to describe our good. I don't think there's any way that we can adequately describe him. But David did a pretty good job. So it was a great read for me. I had to read it twice because it was such a blessing, Psalm 104. Well, we had this call. We had this call that came in overnight that has absolutely nothing to do with Psalm 104.
Hi, my name is Barbara, and I want to ask a question about marriage. A friend of mine asked, should she ask the pastor to marry her without a marriage certificate because it would have messed up her money? And I told her, no, you can't do that. But after kind of thinking about it and studying, I'm not sure. Because what says I'm married? Is it the marriage license? Because, you know, years ago, I'm an African-American. I'm sure my ancestors were slaves, didn't have marriage license, you know, and not saying they would have had a preacher. Would that have been fornication? One more thing. There's a preacher that says that he would not marry you with a marriage license because it's supposed to be between you, God, and your spouse, not between the government. That's my question. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Well, Barbara, thanks for calling. We certainly appreciate you reaching out to Basic Gospel. As far as marriage is concerned, You know, God thought that up. I mean, he created marriage. We see it at the very beginning of the Bible. After he created Adam and Eve, he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this is marriage. This is what marriage is all about. So God has put it together. He has brought it into existence. It was his idea. So it's a covenant. It is a covenant between two people. And they enter into that covenant. They say, we're going to leave our past behind, our entities, our identities from our upbringing. We're going to join ourselves together. We're going to cement ourselves together. We're sticking with one another through thick and thin until death do us part. And we're going to live as one flesh, as a single entity. That's what marriage is all about as far as God is concerned. Now, here in the United States of America and in each separate state, they've recognized what marriage is according to the Bible, and they've recognized that those who are ordained or have some position within a Christian church or a Christian organization has the authority to carry out a marriage ceremony, to officiate a marriage ceremony and tie the knot for people, right, so to speak, and to shepherd to people through this covenant, this making of a covenant. Now, usually people will stand in front of a pastor, in front of family and friends, and announce this publicly. And so it's witnessed. Now, the marriage license is simply the state saying, we recognize that this is a legitimate marriage, not because the state had anything to do with it. It's because they recognize the authority granted by God to ministers and pastors and the like. So they're just recognizing that authority with a marriage license. Of course, they recognize other means for people to get married as well, other officials that can carry out that ceremony. But a pastor signs that marriage license and then sends it in, and the state simply records it, and then the state will begin to treat you as a married couple, as a married person. You file your taxes jointly if you so desire. There's benefits that come living in a state of matrimony. So I think it's important that we follow, you know, those conventions. So I would say to your friend, go to the pastor, have him marry you, and then get the license and follow through. Now, you said something, Barbara, about your friend, that she's worried that if she does that, it's going to mess up her money. Well, that could be a red flag that she doesn't need to move forward in a marriage until she gets that money issue taken care of. So I think that's important for you to communicate to your friend, not all about the, is it okay to get married without a license, or do you need a license, or what about this pastor? Obviously, there are issues that are going on in your friend's life concerning money that she doesn't want to mess up. I don't know what those are, but that seems to me like a strong warning sign to not move forward with this until that's rectified, until there is some solution to that money situation that has come about.
Yeah. Barbara, good to hear from you. Thanks for reaching out. We hope this is a help to you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Let's go to our phone lines and talk with Ernest, listening to us in Fort Worth today. Hi, Ernest. Welcome to Basic Gospel Radio.
Yeah, hello. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
you know, I called in to actually try to follow up a little bit on what you were talking about in John chapter 10, I think it was, about assurance of salvation.
Yes.
And that nobody could snatch us out of the Father's hand or Jesus' hand. And I think everyone, I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. You're just talking to thousands upon thousands of
people.
you're just talking to a friend. We're just having a conversation here. So
yeah. I got you. I know that everybody believes and knows that are true born-again Christians. I mean, God's all-powerfully created everything. That's obvious. And I believe myself that nobody can snatch us out of God's hands. But here lately, I've heard some of the different teachings and other ministers talk about the fact that nobody can snatch us out of God's hands, but we can leave our salvation. What do you think about that?
Well, Ernest, that's impossible when you recognize what salvation is.
Yeah.
Now, if it's just checking off the boxes and saying, hey, I believe this, then somebody might come along and persuade you to believe something else, and you can renounce what you believed before and grab hold of something else. But that's just intellectual assent to something. When we're born again, when we're saved, Ernest, we go from death to life. See, our problem was the fact that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and salvation is being made alive together with Christ. So we die in Christ through our identification with him, through faith in him. We are buried with him, and then we're raised to walk in the newness of life. And then Christ comes to live inside of us through his Spirit. So to walk away from that, we're going to have to reverse that whole process. Well, God's rigged it where that process can't be reversed. Why? Because the thing that killed us, sin, has been dealt with once and for all. So he died for all of our sins. He took the sin issue out of the equation. He dealt with it. He dealt with it justly. He dealt with it according to God's standards. It's done. It's finished. We died with Christ, so the law has been fulfilled in us. Now we've been raised. Resurrection power has flooded into us and has made us alive together with Christ. And Christ comes to live inside of us, and he has united himself with us. So we've become one spirit with the Lord, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6. So that's what salvation is. And we can't walk away from that. We can't undo that. We didn't have any power in bringing it about. And now that we're in Christ, we're sealed by the Spirit of God forever. So we're his. We're alive. We have eternal life. That's ours forever.
Well, and I believe everything you're saying. And then, you know, the reason, that, you know, what prompted my call is I've heard other pastors, and it makes sense to me, but maybe I'm not thinking right with all of that you just added in. But nobody can come to salvation and then go live like the devil the rest of their life and say, it's okay, I'm going to heaven, I've been born again.
Well, let me ask you, Ernest, did you hear what I said about us? We were once dead in trespasses and sins, and now we're alive in Christ, and Christ's Spirit lives in us? I mean, do you get how awesome that is? And if the Spirit of God is actually living in a person, then the Spirit of God is large and in charge, and he is going to be shaping our thinking. He's going to be changing our perspective. He's already changed us at the very core of who we are. That old deceitful heart that we once had has been replaced with a new heart that's clean, that's righteous, that's holy, that God's Spirit has come to live inside of us, and that God's Spirit is giving us a whole new set of desires, and that God's Spirit is going to be renewing our minds. God's Spirit is going to be teaching us about the love of Jesus Christ. God's Spirit is going to be teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly temptations, and He is going to move us to live righteous, holy lives in this present generation. That's what we have to realize. God didn't leave us by ourselves to live this Christian life. He sent His Spirit to take up residence in us. Now, we are led, as believers, we are led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is never going to lead you to sin. Never, ever, ever. So when we recognize that what has happened, that God's Spirit has come to live inside of us, that we realize that His presence and His power is going to be there with us every step of our lives, and He is going to move us down the paths of righteousness.
Right, I do believe that. And at the same time, I mentioned to the call taker, you know, about where it talks in the Bible about backslidden, about falling back, I guess, into sin. Maybe not.
Well, that's an Old Testament. That's an Old Testament passage. Ernest, let's get over in the New and realize what happened. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them back then. Their rule of life was the Ten Commandments, laws written on tablets of stone. They still had hearts that were far away from God. But that's changed in this new covenant. Now, we may give in to the desires of the flesh. We may give in to the temptations of the world. But when we do, Ernest, we know we don't, that doesn't fit with us anymore. Why? Because we're new. We're different. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. So we don't want to have a yes, but theology. We want everything to be yes in Christ. So if He says He saves us, then yes, we are saved. If He says He has sent His Spirit to take up residence in us, then yes, His Spirit is with us at all times. If He says all of our sins are forgiven, then yes, our sins are forgiven. So let's let it all be yes and recognize that this salvation was brought about by God Himself. And since He brought it about, then He's going to sustain us and enable us to persevere to the end. So when Jesus says, for example, in Hebrews chapter 7, that He saved us completely, then if we're going to walk by faith, we've got to take Him at His word and believe that we are saved completely, that when we take our last breath, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord, that at one point we're going to get resurrected bodies and we're going to be with the Lord forever, all because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Ernest, if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, my friend, you are saved forever. Rejoice, rejoice. That is the joy of salvation, knowing in your soul. And that's what peace is all about, that a soul that knows it is saved forever. Well, Ernest, you hold on. We'll send you some information, and I think we'll be a big help to you. You hang on.
Excellent insight, as always, my friend. Thank you for that. And friends, keep in mind that we need your support to keep the message on the air and online. And as you make your gift at BasicGospel.net, be sure to request your copy of Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Already have one? Request another to share with someone else. That's a generous offer from Bob Christopher, and we'd love for you to have an extra copy, if you already have one, of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting this message of Basic Gospel. Well, that's it for today's edition, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition that I told you about yesterday, LOL. Until then, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be back with us tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.